You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers. Join your hosts, Abby Rotstein, writer, mental health advocate, and stand-up comic, and Amanda Edens, fiction editor for self-publishing writers, to navigate the writer's life and the writing process. You're listening to Ask Your Editor, a writing podcast for writers.
So, welcome to episode 0 of the Ask Your Editor podcast. If you're not familiar with podcasting, episode 0 is often just an episode where you can get to know the hosts, get to know what the podcast is about and whether or not you want to listen to it. And it's, for us to, speak a little bit about why we're doing what we're doing. So, I wanted to begin by talking about what this podcast is. It will discuss the writing process, the writer's life, the craft, and other topics related to creative writing. And it will be from both the writers and the editor's perspective on such topics. And what do you think, Abby?
I think that having both perspectives will allow our listeners to gain a full perspective of what it's like to create a work writing that from start to finish, the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to discuss things from character development to plot development to humor to mental health and everything in between, with some serious tone as well as some humorous type of tone.
Yeah, I'm here for the jokes. But I can be serious sometimes.
So now that you know a bit about what our podcast is about, I thought that we would then, talk about the lovely hosts, Abby and I.
We are both lovely.
We are. So Abby and I met as editors for a content marketing agency back in 2013. We have been BFFs ever since. And, we're both have quite an extensive background in creative side of writing, as well as, what it means to be a writer in, the corporate world and being able to make money off of that skill / talent. So let's dive into Abby. Abby Rotstein is a writer, a mental health advocate, as well as a stand-up comedian. And I had, the amazing, joy and honor of being at one of her first stand-up comedy gigs. It was quite amazing. But Abby, maybe you should tell the audience about yourself in your own words.
Okay, so I, like Amanda said, I am both a writer and an editor. I consider myself a writer first and an editor second. And I have been an editor on a lot of different projects. Content marketing is one of them. And I've worked on government contracts. And I'm currently doing editing and writing as part of software development. That's a new one for me. I haven't done that in my career up until now. And I also write. I do creative writing. I am currently at work on a novel, but I also do blogging and I write about mental health. I personally have OCD and I write about what it's like to live with those experiences, in the hopes of, reducing stigma and letting people know they're not alone. And so I also, I do stand-up comedy, but I consider that everything that I do begins with the writing. So I feel like you can't be a good stand-up comic without that foundation of writing. And I write short stories, and I also do speaking. I speak about mental health awareness, and that too starts with the writing. I can't have my advocacy work without, again, that foundation of writing. What do you want to say? How do you want to say it? What's the goal? That sort of thing.
How did you start off writing? I guess, no, let me rephrase that. When was the moment that you knew that you were a writer?
That's kind of a hard question for me to answer, but I think I was one of those kids who's been writing since third grade, and it's always been a part of my life. I think been running away from writing since then, and I'm always led back to it. I'm always always finding projects, and I'm like, oh, that would make a good story. That would make a good story. And so I feel like I accepted myself as a writer maybe around college.
Okay. And, you know, I know, but, you know, for the sake of our brand new audience members who don't know, where did you go to college and what did you study?
So as an undergraduate, I went to UC Irvine, and I was an English major.
Yay,
English majors. And I sort of fell into that degree. I thought, well, they're going to let me read and write and get a degree. So that's definitely simplifying it, but it sounded really appealing to me. And I took some creative writing classes there that were great, and heard about going to grad school to get my MFA in creative writing. And so I applied and went to UC Davis, their writing program. And I was also an English major, but the focus was creative writing.
Fantastic. Now, I know before you and I met, you actually taught English.
Right. I was living in Las Vegas at the time. I'm currently in California, so I was teaching at the College of Southern Nevada, which is a community college in Las Vegas, or in the Southern Nevada, and I taught both creative writing and composition, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great time.
Yeah, awesome. Do you want to maybe speak about how you got into mental health advocacy and also some of your journey in that arena?
So part of how I got into mental health advocacy was because I dealt with, well, I have OCD, and I've had it since I was a kid, but I didn't actually have the courage to talk about it until I was in my 30s. And I thought that I wanted to say things about it, because for all of those years, I never did, and I didn't want other people to feel like they couldn't either. And I remember the people I admire growing up were those who were just able to tell their story, whatever it's about. It didn't have to be about mental health. And that was kind of my goal. I wanted to be like them. And so I started to open up about it with family and friends. And then I thought about, well, I can write about this, and I can do some stand up with this. I can make jokes about it. I have enough distance from it that I can tell jokes. And so when I started doing stand up stuff, I included some jokes about mental health that were, you know, respectful of it, of course, but also, you know, you can laugh at yourself. So I started with that, and then I wanted to do more writing on the topic, and I did some writing, and I wrote for The Mighty, where I have several articles published on OCD and depression as well. And then I joined a speakers bureau called Stop Stigma Sacramento, and that's where the goal of the Speakers Bureau is to reduce stigma and to raise awareness. And the speakers go to places all over Sacramento County. We go to schools, we go to businesses, we have events, we sit on panels, and we talk about our particular stories. And I also had the great pleasure of presenting at the International OCD Foundation's conference, which is that organization provides a lot of information about OCD, and they raise awareness, and they have an annual conference. And I presented there this year. It was essentially a culmination of all of the advocacy that I've been doing about writing and speaking. And so I presented on how to use creativity to tell your story about OCD in particular.
Wow. And that was in that was the event in Washington, D.C., correct?
Yes, that was in D.C. Awesome.
Well, from like a host standpoint, I think, you know, I think you sort of covered your experience. But is there anything, you know, else that I might have forgotten to bring up to our lovely audience?
I also have a cat. You neglected to mention that. It's
very
important.
Important. I think a lot of writers are cat people, so bonding.
You need the bonding, and you need the cat needs to yell at you to get back to writing.
Yeah, I was going to say you need other writers with cats so that you can bond with the other writers, because you definitely can't bond with your cat.
You can't. They don't allow bonding.
Not typically, no. Sad, sad fact.
It's sad.
Okay. Yay!
Okay.
If you're not okay with your host devolving into giggling, this is not the show for you.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay. I think now I will introduce myself. I've been using the first person this whole entire time, but you, unless you know me already and you're listening to this, you don't really know who I am. So I'm going to begin with that, and then maybe Abby can see where the gaps in my introduction are and return the favor of being interviewer. But my name is Amanda Edens. I likewise have been a writer since the third grade. It's very weird, Abby, that you actually specifically called out the third grade, because I was immediately transported back to when I was in third grade. I wrote an entire series of unicorn stories in the third grade, and I presented them in front of the class. They were great. I really wish I still had them. Maybe
me
I
too.
Somewhere. I also illustrated them. Fine art, like the finest art that you can think of. I wrote throughout my teen years, and I eventually went to college for creative writing. So I was an English major, but specifically creative writing track. And you know, my lit courses were really a supplement to the actual writing courses that I took. It was a very intensive college in Pennsylvania. I am actually from Las Vegas, born and raised. There are not a lot of us, and I just on an 18-year-old's whim just up and left and went across the country to go to the school. And that was a very defining moment in my life. I think throughout the podcast, I might actually draw from that experience, because it's just one of those where there was the before this event happened, and then there's the after this event happened. And that's just one of those sort of creases in my lifeline, if you want to believe in that kind of thing. When I was in college for writing, I actually found out I was not a writer. You know, I can write a great story. I can write a great story arc. I can write a fantastic sentence, if I can say so myself without sounding like I'm bragging. But what I really took pride in was the critique, the workshop, and the peer reviews that we did, and that was every class, because it was such an intensive writing class. I took more joy in those than I did crafting my own story. So that's when I decided I wanted to be an editor. It's not like there are a wealth of editing positions out there in the world, for in the creative fields anyways, like publishing houses, unless you want to live in New York and take a massive gamble. So I actually started working in marketing as an editorial manager. That's where Abby and I met. And, you know, I'm going to actually brag on both of our behalf, Abby. We were both quality assurance editors, which meant that we edited the editors. And I think we processed, you know, together probably close to 150 to 250 orders per day of web content and other types of content. So, you know, and I currently actually work in marketing. I'm a content strategist. So, you know, I do the search engine optimization. I do, you know, writing copy for the buyer's journey and all of that. And When you actually think about marketing and creative writing go together, there's actually a lot of parallels. So developing character is the same as, you know, creating a buyer persona or target audience, you know, writing content that appeals to them, and crafting their buyer's journey is very similar to crafting a story arc. And, you know, communicating effectively is paramount in both of those worlds. So it lent very well. Sorry, my college degree lent very well to the world of marketing. But I also started interning at a small independent publisher in North Carolina or South Carolina. I actually can't remember because it was quite a while back. I was a senior editor and I started doing both developmental editing and proofreading. You know, from there, I really started becoming and realizing my dreams as a creative editor. And I now own my own editorial business. And, you know, I have a book of clients and, you know, I actually, you know, take pride in helping them realize their, you know, self-publishing dreams. I primarily work with indie authors. But that's the skinny of that. That's most of it.
So I want to say on your behalf that Amanda, she does write excellent sentences. I have read them. And she is a good storyteller. She might not say so herself. She is, and she's also a fantastic editor.
Thank you, Abby. I think perhaps, you know, maybe I downplay my writing skills, but you said in when you were talking about your background, you consider yourself a writer first and an editor second. I'm the opposite. So I consider myself an editor first and a writer second. I think every editor needs to know how to write and needs to know how to tell a good story. It's just how we apply that's the difference. And so, you know, because there are a lot of writers who are good, you know, self-editors as well. So, but yeah, and that's, I think, you know, what's going to create an interesting dynamic with this podcast is talking about topics from both the writer and the editor perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, well, why don't you tell our listeners how you're an editor first? What does that mean to you?
So the big thing I think is I talk about this, and this is going to come up in the podcast for sure, but the writer's persona is definitely a hot button topic, not only when we talk about literature and we talk about the greats, but also, you know, modern writers and what it means to be in the writing lifestyle. And something that I've found, especially with indie writers who are going the self-publishing route instead of pursuing traditional publishing, is a few things. Number one, imposter syndrome. Two, just like crippling self-doubt and wondering if this thing that you create is going to appeal to other people outside yourself. It's very interesting to me because every time someone turns over a manuscript to me, they're always like, Amanda, I am so nervous. Here it is. I can't wait to hear your feedback, but oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. That's pretty much what every first email boils down to. And I tell them, you don't have to be nervous. We're going to do this thing. Like the magic is what, you know, the magic is what happens in the revision. The first draft, you know, Ernest Hemingway says the first draft is shit. Period. It doesn't matter if you're Ernest Hemingway or if you're Abby Rothstein. The first draft is shit. And the magic happens in the revision. So as an editor, like why that makes me feel good is that I'm able to identify, here's the parts of the manuscript that can be improved. Here is the parts that you did well. And I also do, you know, my part, like that second part is really important. What you did well, because then they're able to maximize on their strengths, they're able to mitigate their weaknesses, and they can also, you know, feel good. Like my editor said that this scene was awesome, and here's why. And so turning over their book to a professional can be very vulnerable, a very vulnerable moment. And that's kind of sort of the beauty in what I do is I like to assuage fear, but I also like to direct constructive criticism to make the whole thing better. So it's definitely, you know, a tight rope balancing the two, and I really enjoy doing it.
I completely agree with that, with the vulnerability. I understand that just as a writer going So you're going to read this now? Earlier, you said that so there's different kinds of editing. I think some people think of editing as just a monolithic endeavor, but you talked about proofreading, but then there's also more global editing. So can you explain the kinds of things that you do, the different kinds of things you do?
Absolutely. So there are so many editing terms that I think even editors kind of get confused about what they all mean and where they overlap. But there are three sort of main ones, three main types of editing that I typically talk about. The first is developmental editing. And what that is taking a look at the big picture of the novel, the structure, the story arc, the character arc and character development, setting the scene, making sure there are no plot holes, the pacing of the story, whether or not it's grabbing in the beginning, sort of just like overall pieces to the manuscript that can be improved. The middle stage is line editing, and that is typically sort of a look at line by line how the language contributes to those goals. So it's no longer looking at the big picture structure, but it is thinking about structure in terms of line by line how the language supports that. And so it's definitely more granular, but it still kind of consists of sort of the same goals. Is this character behaving in the way that they're supposed to be? Is this setting described in a way that the reader can picture what's happening and where, that kind of thing. And then proofreading would be the final step. So there might be some overall like language changes in line editing, but proofreading is going to take a look at the spelling and the punctuation and just make sure that everything is polished. And that's what I tell people, is the proofreading is the final polish. But those are the three sort of main ones. And then there are also like synonyms for those and, you know, different ways that other editorial terms overlap with them, but overall that's usually what I'm referring to when I say types of editing.
Okay, and I think we'll probably discuss those in more detail as the episodes go on too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a particular favorite kind of editing?
Developmental. I like talking about storytelling. It's definitely the most interesting. Like, I'm a grammar geek for sure, which makes me very good at the proofreading side, but developmental is definitely, I think where the passion is. You know, when a writer sits down, they're not like, oh, I'm going to string some sentences together. They're sitting down to get their message out into the world, and that's where the passion is. So that's where I like to work the most.
I agree. That's where my passion is as a writer. I could talk about storytelling all day.
We will.
We will. So this is a good thing. So did I miss anything? Did you want to say something more?
Well, I have a degree in this, in creative writing. Oh, yeah. One thing that I think I might bring up in later episodes is my creative writing professor. He was definitely like more of a drill instructor type of mentor than, you know, a nurturer. And so I have a lot of funny stories about him that, you know, I might draw from. And, but, you know, that experience was invaluable. My husband, actually, I want to talk about my husband. Okay, so you have a cat.
Yes.
I have a husband.
There's a lot of care involved. A lot of care.
Quite a bit. My husband is an English lit major. We met in college, and he also got he was a double major. He also did political science, and his master's is in public policy. And he now currently works for a rare bookstore. So I like to tell people that we're like the ultimate literary power couple. Because, you know, his job just involves like handling these first editions of like the classics that, you know, sometimes are hundreds of years old. Like they have everything from, you know, 17th century Bibles to, you know, the first edition of, you know, The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. I guess I'm on an Ernest Hemingway kick this episode. I don't know. Second time he's come up. If I ever talk about books, I'm probably referring to some of the things that Brandon has taught me. But yeah, so I just thought I'd bring that up. I love books.
I think that's awesome. And maybe Brandon doesn't know it, but I want him to come and be a guest on our podcast.
Do we have to?
All right. Well, no, maybe. I'll ask him behind your back.
Okay. He can replace me in one episode.
No, you got to be here to keep him in line.
Let's see. What else, though?
Amanda has a dog, by the way, also, not a cat.
I'm a dog person, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, so, I like all animals. I just like the dog the mostest.
Right. She's being diplomatic.
No, I'm not. I've had every animal that you can think of.
That is true. That is true.
I had a goat once when I was young.
Goats are wonderful, but I guess I've never actually had to raise one, and I've been told they're kind of jerks. Oh, I don't know if that's true. Yeah.
They headbutt you. Animals. I love animals. Well, is there anything else you want to tell the readers on our maiden voyage of podcast episodes?
Let's see. Well, I hope that not only will you get great technical advice and information, but also there will be some goofing off, of course, but hopefully there you'll get a personal touch and you'll learn a little bit more about us and what it's like to live the writing/editing life.
Piggybacking off of that, you know, we definitely want to talk about the craft. We definitely want to talk about the lifestyle. I think in the future, we may have guests, like you mentioned, getting Brandon on here for one episode. For the first few, we definitely have to get our own feet wet first before we add more weird people to the mix, but maybe some guests. I also want to sort of stay true to the name of Ask Your Editor. There are only so many episodes that we can do where we kind of assume the questions that new and even not new writers are asking in their daily writing journeys. But if you ever have a question or a topic that you want us to tackle, send it in, because, you know, it's Ask Your Editor for a reason. And we'd be happy to, you know, feature that topic on the podcast if we have the expertise to do so.
Right.
We don't want to talk out our butts about anything.
No.
Well, maybe a little.
We could do a little of that. So, what more do you want to say?
I think this episode is coming to its natural conclusion. A lot of podcasts like to, you know, set an actual like time. Like, you know, we have a 1 hour podcast or we have a half hour podcast. I think what Abby and I are really going to do is wait until the conversation comes to a natural close and then close out the episode. And so that's what you can expect for future topics. With that being said, so we are going to end our inaugural podcast episode, episode number 0. And I'm going to end the episode with a request. Please download, rate, review, and even subscribe if you like us. If you don't like us, at least give us one more episode, because this was kind of just like a freestyling sort of thing. Episode 0 is a little different than what we'll be doing in the future, but definitely rate, review, and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and we're grateful to have you as a listener.
Thank you for listening to Ask Your Editor. For links or clarification on this episode, visit the show notes on askyoureditor.com. Get notified when new episodes are released by visiting askyoureditor.com/subscribe. And be sure to like our page at facebook.com/askyoureditor.